Now, two Sunday nights ago, Steve taught from Hebrews chapter 6, which is a pretty tough section there, talking about eternal security, whether somebody can lose their salvation or not, So it's how many of you guys were here for that, that actually heard that? Okay, everybody's here. So that's good stuff, good meat, good doctrine, some real meat there. So tonight I thought we were going to discuss some other, kind of meaty topics, some things that are maybe more difficult to understand, more for the mature. We're going to bounce around a little bit, so I'll just give you an overview of what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about who is the real author of Hebrews. Number two, did Saul really conjure up Samuel, in 1 Samuel chapter 28 when he went to the sorcerer? Went to the witch there. Who was in the wrong when Paul and Barnabas parted ways over John Mark? Was it Paul or was it Barnabas that was messed up and against God's will? And speaking of that, was Paul going against God's will when he went back to Jerusalem? In Acts chapter 20, where he said the Spirit testifies that bonds and chains await me. And number five, what did the seven thunders say? We're going to, elaborate more on that and what that means and what they actually said. And then finally, the day and hour of Christ's return. So just kidding. Tonight we're actually going to look at, David's spiritual life. David was a regular guy. He was just like us, David, you look at these guys like Moses, like David, Abraham, the guys that are the fathers of faith, and guys like Paul, and you say, wow, they're like, some other class. They're like way, way higher, some spiritual, they've attained some sort of, spiritual level or whatever that's way above, anything that I could experience. But that's really not the case. They were messed up. They still needed to be saved, just like we do, we do. And so I take courage in that, because there's hope for me. You look at David, and ever since he was a little boy, going all the way from when he was out in the field and he was tending sheep and he was serving the Lord and following Him and trying to do His will. The Lord used him, and as he trusted in the Lord, the Lord took care of him, and the Lord went before him. And David, all throughout his life, from when he was a kid and he went up through, he had different times in his life where he was living, according to God's will, and other times when he was messing up and doing foolish things. Times when he was getting chased by his enemies, and times when he was ruling the kingdom. He was ruling the nation of Israel. So in his whole life, he had a full range that, we can all, at some point, we can relate to. And we're going to be in Psalm 40, so if you guys want to turn there. Psalm 40 is kind of a good psalm. It kind of sums up a lot of David's psalms. You think of David wrestling with himself, and Lord, break their teeth in their mouth, and praise the Lord, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? And he's wrestling back and forth. Sometimes he's praising God. Sometimes he's downer. He's big. He's in the pits and in the gutter. But so Psalm 40 kind of covers some of that too. And yesterday, I have to admit, yesterday when I was coming home, I was driving home from work, and I was kind of in a bad mood. I had a bad attitude. I was in a bad mood, and things just not going right at work and whatever. So I was on my way home, and I knew I was going to be teaching, and I was reading Psalm 40 on the way home, and the Lord kept me safe. And even though I was reading, but I started reading Psalm 40, and it was the Lord snapped me out of it. It was almost like a switch. It was great. I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. The Lord's faithful. Whenever we give ourselves over to Him, He's faithful to snap us out of where we're at. So we'll start off Psalm 40, verse 1. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And I see that that's kind of what struck me when I was riding home. You know, it's perspective. You know, David was able to step back and kind of look at the big picture. And sometimes I have a hard time doing that. I get stuck in my thing, you know, where I'm at, and I don't stop and say, is this really all that big a deal? I mean, come on, snap out of it, smarten up. And David was seeing the big picture. You know, it's not about him. It's not about me. It's important for us to realize that the direction that we were heading was horrible too. I mean, he brought me up out of it, and the King James says, a horrible pit out of the miry clay. And that struck me, a horrible pit. Is that really what I see my whole life? You know, if I really see it from God's perspective, it's a horrible pit. So this is a nasty, horrible place. And that's where, like with my kids, I want them to see the world and be able to see it. And you know, there you run a fine line. You run a balance between, okay, I want to protect my kids from all the garbage and junk that's in the world, but at the same time, you know, they have to be exposed to it. They have to know how to deal with it. But I want my kids to see the world, and I want it for myself to see the world and see it as it's a horrible pit in comparison to where I'm going to be, where Jesus is, where my final destination is. And anything that the world has to offer doesn't compare at all. It's a horrible pit. It's miry clay. It's a slippery, nasty, sloppy place. And I want to lean on the Lord. And so he goes on in verse 3, and he says, He's put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. And so seeing that horrible pit and knowing what the hope is, and that David once would be with Jesus in heaven, he'd be with God the Father, he was praising God. And I have to ask myself, do I live my life like that? Do I have that new song, that praise? Do I live my life in praise to the Lord so that everybody can see? It says, so that many may see it and fear and trust in the Lord. And so I want my life to be like that. I want to have my life be a life of praise, not just singing, coming to church and praising God only, but have my life be that. He said, Blessed is the man, how happy is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. And it is a blessing to trust in the Lord. We can all look back at times in our lives when the Lord has really done an awesome thing, and He's delivered us, and He's done something awesome. And there's no taking credit for it ourselves. You know, I can look back in my life, and when the Lord has just delivered me, I'm like, I couldn't even have planned anything that good. I couldn't even have worked that out. Even if I, you know, had infinite resources, I couldn't, you know. The Lord has just, He's done it. And He's done it so many times that when, something hard comes up, I start to worry and fret. I have to think back and say, wait a minute. When I put my trust in the Lord, He'll take care of it. He delivers. He has in the past. Why do I think that He's not going to now? So here he says, Blessed, oh, how happy is that man that puts his trust in the Lord. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works. Again, so he says, these wonderful works that thou hast done, and my thoughts and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they're more than can be numbered. And just like I said, man, Lord, you've done so many awesome things. I can't even remember them all. There's so many I couldn't even write them down. And the thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order to thee. God thinks about me more than I think about me, which is kind of hard to imagine because I'm the one who thinks the most about me out of anybody on the planet. And so, you know, that's huge. I think of Psalm 139, where David says, "Oh, how precious are thy thoughts towards thoughts unto me, O God! How great this is the sum of them! If I could count them, they are more than the number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee." Have you ever taken a look? I was down in Alabama, and I was down on the white sand beaches, and there was this one beach that we went out on, and you know the beaches are gymungous, they're huge, and so you're like from here to the other side of the road, you know, the beach is just, you know, 100 yards wide, 100 yards to get to the water, and you look down one side, and it's just, you know, goes right off to the horizon, you know, right down, you know, and it's fairly straight, and you know, maybe curves out or whatever. And you look over on the other side, just as far down as you can see, it touches the horizon. You see these giant beaches. Like, wow, that's a lot of sand. And you go and you scoop up a handful of sand, and say, wow, I wonder how many handfuls of sand there are on this whole beach, as far as my eyes can see. And you know, and I take and I throw the sand down, and I still have sand left on my hands, and you know, I'm trying to get it off, and I see, you know, I probably have I don't know, 1,000 grains of sand just kind of stuck on my hand, and I'm looking at that, and I can almost count the individual grains of sand, and I'm looking at that, and I, wow, if you counted up all those, I wonder how many grains of sand there are. Wow, that's a huge number. And then I think of you know, that makes me think of this: how precious are they? How great is the sum of them, your thoughts towards me? If I should count them, they're more than the number of the sand. And this is only the beach that I can see. You know, I'm looking on both sides, you know, so the curvature of the earth, you know, and that's just one beach. Wow, blows my mind. You can't think about it too long, because then, you start losing your mind. But he says in verse 6, "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings hast thou not required." That makes me, and I wonder if David had been talking to Samuel, and you know, because I remember in 1 Samuel chapter 15, where when Saul had just completed a battle, he just finished a battle, and the Lord told him to wipe out everything, man, woman, cattle, beast, everything, destroy everyone, and he didn't, and he said, well, I brought some cattle, and Samuel came, and he said, I did what the Lord told me, and Samuel said, well, why do I hear sheep bleeding in the background? And he's like, well, I came to offer them. I wanted to give them as a sacrifice to the Lord. And Samuel's like, no, wait a minute. Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And there's a... So I think, I don't know if David was recalling back at that point where sacrifice and offering aren't really what the Lord is looking for. The sacrifice, the Levitical sacrifices that were established, were for us, for a shadow, a type. It was a covering, and it was a shadow and type of the sacrifice that would come in Jesus. David kind of echoes this again in Psalm 51, that psalm that David was really broken, and after he had sinned with Bathsheba. He said, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou will not despise. So that's the sacrifice that he's looking for is obedience and faith and trust and a heart that's set towards him. And then in verse 7, we see a psalm or a verse talking about Jesus that is actually Jesus, a picture of the Messiah here in the Old Testament. He said, "Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart." And the author of Hebrews talks about that. And no, we're not going to discuss who the author is, but the author of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 10, I'm going to read a couple verses here, and if you guys want to flip over there, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect." And Steve will be getting into this in a couple weeks, but you know, talking about the sacrifices and the sacrifices that God established in the Levitical law weren't the end all. They weren't the substance of what he was talking about. They were just a shadow of good things to come. Jesus, "For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because of the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take sins away." Again, that sacrifice wasn't meant to be permanent. "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he had said, Sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin wouldest thou not, neither hadest pleasure in them which are offered by the law. Then he said, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which we are sanctified through the offering in the body of Jesus Christ once for all." So the author of Hebrews there lays that out, that's Jesus. And it's kind of a strange thing, as you go through the Psalms and as Steve was teaching through the Psalms before, and even in different passages of Scripture in the Old Testament, you have the Messiah being interjected here. And it's it's something that the Holy Spirit, I don't know if David realized when he was writing this. I try to put it in that light, like David in his circumstance and how that worked out in his particular instance. And then you can kind of see, it doesn't really fit. It's weird. What were you talking about, David? now knowing what we know, it's Jesus. And the volume of the book is written of me. And I know with Stephanie and I, since we teach the kids upstairs, that's one point that, we're going through the Old Testament. We're in 1 Samuel right now, just started into 1 Samuel. And we want to make sure that the kids realize that through the whole book, this whole book is talking about Jesus. I mean, the Old Testament, Jesus is in there. This is the whole thing is about Jesus. And I know when I was a kid, I didn't spend a lot of time in church or even in Sunday school, I didn't realize that. I didn't understand that. I didn't know that. I knew of Jesus, and I knew some of the Bible stories on the flannel graph, and some Old Testament stuff with David and Goliath and Noah and the Ark and Adam and Eve and all that. But I didn't understand what this book was about, and so. That's one thing that we're really emphasizing with the kids. We want them to know that the whole thing is about Jesus. It makes me wonder, makes me long. Just like, you know, Steve has said in the past, you know, on the road to Emmaus, it's in Luke chapter 24, when they're walking on the road to Emmaus, the two disciples, and they walk alongside of Jesus, and Jesus expounded them in the Psalms and in the prophets and in the law, all the things that were concerning him. And he probably is, you know, this is one of them. He said, it's in the volume of the book, it's written to me. It's all, hey, you guys, this is, it's me, you know, this is the whole thing. And that's going to be an awesome Bible study to hear and to know. But he continues on in verse 9, and he flips back over to, you know, it's easier to see this as David. He says, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. And this is, I guess this is an area of, you know, when I'm looking at it and I'm trying to be introspective, that's one thing, you know, do I share God's faithfulness and his salvation? Do I share his loving kindness and his truth? And show at the same time be, you know, showing his truth, but also showing his loving kindness, you know, being salt. It's easy to be salt. It's sometimes it's a little tougher to be light. But I look at my own, the opportunities that I have. Do I share his faithfulness? Do I make it a point to share his faithfulness and to share the things that the Lord is doing with everybody, with my kids, with my wife, with the guys that I work with? You know, the guys I work with, I spend a lot of time with them during the day because I, you know, I'm there with them. And the Lord has given me inroads and given me favor, and it's a blessing. But I don't want to just be. I need to get in their face more. You know, I need to be more disruptive. They know me and they know where I stand. And well, one of the awesome things is I have my kids' artwork. You know, so children's ministry stuff. When the kids come down and they've made notes and everything, and I stick them up. So I have on the filing cabinets and on the part of the wall, there's scripture verses and my kids, you know, in my kids' handwriting, and that's awesome. And so when people come in, they know where I stand. You know, they know. And how are you gonna argue with a verse, you know, that's written up there, when any man believes in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. All things are made new. And it's, you know, and it's got the kids writing underneath it and whatever. And it's like, you know, if people come in and they read that, and like, you know, even a kid gets it. So, you know, it's a blessing. It opened up a lot of doors. And, you know, just carrying around, you know, I was surprised, you know, some of you guys have Bibles on your hip. You know, you have a Bible that's hooked on there, and I'm sure you guys have had comments too of about it. But you know, I started out because I had a little Gideon Bible in my back pocket, and it just had the New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs. I'm like, man, I want the whole thing. And the smallest Bible was, you know, kind of big for your back pocket, you know, and sitting on it, and then it, you know, got all tore up and it was coming apart, and then I saw Pastor Ken had one of those. I said, wow, that's kind of neat. That would be great, because I could just, you know, hook it right on my belt and I could have it, you know, and it had clips on it. Wow, I don't even have to be wearing a belt. I can just clip it right on there, and I can be wearing shorts, and I can go out canoeing, and I can, you know, hey, that's pretty handy. And so, you know, people, you wouldn't believe all the different things that people think that is. Hey, what's that? And they, oh, it's my Bible. And they're like, ah, yeah, right. Yeah. You know, or that's my Bible. I, I gotta go, you know, or it's a lot of fun, but you get all kinds of, you know, all kinds of different reactions, but I want to be more than, you know, just there. I want to share God's faithfulness, his salvation. He says, I preached righteousness in the great congregation. I haven't refrained my lips. Couldn't keep my mouth shut. Lord knows. I haven't hid your righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I haven't concealed thy loving kindness or thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so I am not able to look up. And they are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore my heart faileth me. And boy, that's what it feels like sometimes. Like, man, this is heavy. And the people, I got people against me that I don't know how I can stand up underneath it. And you know, that's a good place to be. You know, that's for me, you know, I think about that, and you know, those are the times when I'm in the hardest spots, when I'm in the toughest place, where I'm at the end of myself, and I don't know what to do, and I have no recourse, I have no option. That's when the Lord can show himself strong. That's where the Lord can provide and take care of us and show us that it's really him. And you know, and a lot of times we say, oh yeah, I know, I mean, the Lord's taking care of it all. But you know, that's when it's going good. And then when things start sliding and not going so good, you know, you start getting nervous, and oh, the Lord will take care of things. And being at a tough spot like this is really where we need to be, because we slack. I don't care who you are, you slack off, and you get you know, things get good, and you get fat and lazy, and that's just the way that it is. That's our nature. It's human nature. I try to fight against it, you know. I try to stay disciplined, but that's you know, that's a hard place to stay. And the Lord gives us those things to make it so that we have to depend on him. And that's a good thing. And, you know, I fear for our country. You know, I mean, I look at that. Sometimes I wonder, you know, when we're praying, I think about like Daniel in Daniel chapter 9. Daniel's like, well, I was reading Jeremiah, and, 70 years of captivity. And, whoa, we've been 69. Whoa, that's... I gotta start to pray. We gotta pray this in. You know, we're almost getting ready to go. I mean, so he throws, you know, gets down on his face, and he's praying, and he's lifting up his petitions to the Lord, and he's confessing the sins of, you know, his sins and the sins of his nation. And I sometimes think about that too. Like, you know, we are blessed. We're a well-fed church. Steve is blessed. The Lord has used him, and he's feeding us, and he's teaching us, and he hasn't shunned to declare most of the counsel of God, because you know, he hasn't quite got his way through it. But you know, that you have, we can look and we can see what's coming and what's happening and what the ultimate end is. And sometimes I go back and forth about, well, how do I? Times are going to get tough. I mean, they have to. I mean, I don't know. I don't see the United States in the Bible. You know, not in a huge, you know, political power role or economic role or anything. Maybe you know, the U.S. is there in smaller ways, but it doesn't appear to be the world power based on what Scripture says, and so. That means that more than likely times are going to get tough here. And we know that times are going to get real tough as the day of the Lord approaches. Things are going to get worse and worse. And but that's also gives the Lord opportunity. The Lord has this way of protecting those and coming alongside of those who trust him and believe in him. So we don't have to worry. We don't have to fret about that. But it puts us in a place where we have to where we have to trust in him. And David says in verse 12, "For innumerable evils have compassed me about. My iniquities have taken hold on me. Not only do I have enemies, but I also have my rotten, stinking flesh, so that I can't even look up. I don't want to lift my head up. And my iniquities are so much that they're even more than the hairs on my head. And therefore my heart faileth me." And what does he say? "So now I'm going to crawl in a hole and die." Well, no, he says, "Be pleased, O Lord, deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, aha, aha." When we cry out to the Lord, he'll help us. And he says, "Let all those who seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified." And that's important. You know, it's important to glorify and praise the Lord. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he said, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God." If you ever wonder what the will of God is for you, there are a couple of different places in Scripture, but this is one of them. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So it's important. Praise the Lord. "Let all those who seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let all of those who love thy salvation continually say, the Lord be magnified." But again, David comes back and he says, "But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God." And I can easily forget that I am poor and needy. That's really where I'm at. I am poor and needy. And I can be so self-sufficient, you know, and be very self-sufficient and then leave the Lord and then go and want to be doing my own thing. But David comes back around and says, "I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me." The Lord hasn't cast him off. The Lord doesn't cast us off. He hasn't cast me off. He is my help and my deliverer. And he says, "Make no tarrying. Don't waste any time. Don't delay, oh my God." So if you look back at this care, you know, there's a little bit of everything in here. You know, all the way through David's life, you can see right from start to finish that his life was characterized by waiting on the Lord, by reflecting on what the Lord has done for him, by praising the Lord, and by telling others of his faithfulness, you know, of his salvation, of his loving kindness, and then leaning on the Lord for his strength and his provision. You know, Jesus was called the Son of David, which is kind of a flattering thing. I mean, he was called the Son of Man, but he was also called the Son of David. And, you know, the Old Testament scriptures, you know, refer to the Messiah as the Son of David. But David was a man, the scriptures say that David was a man after God's own heart. And, you know, David certainly wasn't perfect, but he was a guy that loved the Lord, and he became a man after God's own heart. David blew it when David blew it, he blew it big. But when he repented big too, and that's what the Lord is looking for. And it's not that sin doesn't have its consequences. I mean, you had the situation with David. David became the ruler of Israel, the king of Israel, and conquered, had a mighty kingdom, and God was with him and used him. You know, David, you know, messed up. His family was messed up. He didn't deal with things the way that he should there. But but he sought God and he was seeking after God. But you know, he was never able. He wanted to build a house for the Lord, and the Lord said, "Sorry, you're not gonna do that." So it has consequences, but it's not the Lord doesn't cast us off. So I was encouraged by that as I was going through and looking at Psalm 40. And it really kind of gave me perspective and brought me all the way around from, you know, thinking of David's life and thinking of all the different, you know, you think of David as kind of a, you know, he's kind of manic depressive. You know, if you go through and you read the Psalms, sometimes he's, you know, super high. He's on the high. He's like, you know, God is awesome, Lord. You're great, break their teeth with the rod of iron and, you know, and whatever. And other times, my soul is in Sheol and, you know, whatever. So I see that roller coaster ride, and I see that kind of through Psalm 40, but he starts off with waiting for the Lord and the Lord hearing his cry, and then, Lord, I'm poor and needy, come and deliver me. And that's what I needed to hear. Especially yesterday when I was coming home from work, I needed to get some perspective and know that the Lord is still with me no matter what, and there's nothing that's more important than following, serving Him. So let's pray. Lord, we are thankful that you are an awesome God and you are willing to forgive, and you're worthy of our praise. And Lord, we want to wait for you. We want to be waiting on you continually. Lord, help us to and desire you and realize that this world is a horrible pit. Lord, we get so at home here sometimes, and Lord, we just pray that you would make us not satisfied here. Lord, this isn't our home. These are just tents that we're in. And Lord, whatever that takes, Lord, we pray that you would do it. We know it's for our good. Lord, we want to be desiring you and more like you and less like us. Lord, please, I pray that you'd bless the rest of our week. Lord, that you'd use us, Lord, as we go to work, go home, around town. Lord, that you would help us to tell of your goodness and your kindness and your truth and your loving kindness. Lord, may that be what sets us apart, and that people see that we're different. Lord, we thank you for this time in your word. We pray you'd bless our evening as we go. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.